The affirmation of faith for today at Daleville Christian Church is from 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The reading of God's Word today is from John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, verses 19 through 27. Jesus is speaking. Jesus gave them this answer: I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by Himself. He can do only what He sees His Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does. Yes, to your amazement, He will show Him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom He is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears My word and believes Him who sent Me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and He has given Him authority to judge, because He is the Son of Man. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. 3 years ago, Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, a renowned, if at times controversial, doctor who serves as an oncologist and bioethicist, wrote an article. The title of the article was this: Why I Hope to Die at 75. It is possible that some of you hearing this might take an exception to such a statement by this eminent physician. But I could ask the question about the length of life a different way. Who wants to live forever? Anyone? Hands? But you might be saying to yourself, well, Pastor, isn't that a trick question? We, through Jesus Christ, will live forever. So what is it that you are really asking? And if the thought that you will live forever in Jesus has run through your mind, I commend you. You make a good point. Christians do believe that they will live forever. Christians believe that they will experience death, but that Christians have been taught, Jesus taught, those who believe in Me shall never die. So, Pastor, what are you talking about when you say, do we want to live forever? Well, the Bible speaks of it, and scientists today are working on just that. You and I living forever. Do you recall where in the Bible it speaks of humans living forever? The Bible says in the book of Genesis that God believed we would try to cheat death, so to speak, and try and live forever. You remember what the Bible says about Adam and Eve, how they ate of the tree of good and evil. Because of that, Adam and Eve sinned, they were cursed by God, and they were sent away from the garden and prevented from re-entering the garden ever again. You remember the verse, Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So verses 23 and 24 go on to say, "So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life." Ever noticed those verses before? So the Bible states clearly that we are not going to live forever. And I remind people at funerals that death is a part of life, and it has been since the beginning. The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes has these words for us, words that tell us that death is a part of life, as are tears and sorrow. All are a part of God's plan. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Death is a part of life. Death is a part of the plan for creation. But God has created all of us with more than bodies that die. God has created us both body and soul. The body is destined for but a short time on earth. The body dies. All of us will die. But the soul, God has intended to live with God forever in the heavenly places. Our spirits may continue to live with God if we can trust God in Jesus. The Bible teaches that death does not have to be the end. But as we know, not everyone reads the Bible, and even some who do read the Bible don't believe it or don't believe in it. And despite Dr. Emmanuel's words that he would be glad to have the world stop so he could get off at age 75, and by the way, Dr. Emmanuel is 60 years of age, but despite the words of this 60-year-old who does not care to live past 75, scientists today are working on just that. You and I living a long time, even forever. Or at least a very, very long time. Silicon Valley billionaires and other elites are putting up very large sums of money into research work on helping people live forever. The founders of Google spent more than $1 billion to create Calico Labs to research ways to battle against death. Another cyber company CEO is also on a quest for man-made eternal life, reportedly spending $430 million on immortality research. And an Amazon.com businessman is funneling millions of dollars into a company on a mission to find ways to slow or stop the aging process or enable immortality. Meanwhile, another cyber company founder has also given cash to a cryogenic company which freezes people's bodies in the hopes that one day a cure can be found for death. One CEO is counting on dietary supplements. I only mentioned that he owns the same dietary supplement company. He's counting on dietary supplements, saying, "I plan to live beyond 180 years. Certainly, a number of Hollywood films have played with the idea of our minds living as artificial intelligence long after our bodies cease to exist, and therefore we would exist with your personal intelligence or your personal memories, and in that way your brain lives forever. What I conclude from all this funding is this: if you have a lot of money, apparently you want to live forever. If you're a poor person, maybe not so much. Maybe you don't want to live forever poor. Remember Ponce de Leon, supposed discoverer or seeker of the Fountain of Youth in Florida? But that can't be true because I understand most people in Florida are old. But that has not prevented people from continuing to look for a fountain of youth in whatever form they might find it. In many ways, scientific people, and even before science, people have been working on humans living longer for many years, maybe since the time of Adam and Eve. I was surprised to learn that one simple way for people to live longer was city sewers. Sewage systems in cities of Europe allowed a huge population boom in the early 1900s. Once you move the source of disease and fouled water out, clean water and cleaner roadways, act to move out, keep communicable diseases out, and allows us to live longer. And we've been improving our lifespans ever since. A baby born today is expected to live almost twice as long as its Victorian ancestors of 150 years ago. And current life expectancy is 80 for men and 83 for women. That's in the United States. The average lifespan for people in other countries is even longer. And again, that's average. I've been amazed that in my lifetime, just 30 years in this county, I have known 7 people who lived to be 100 years old or more. You already have heard of some of the science involved in living longer. Film and television have already included the idea of freezing people for the future. I mentioned last week that some research suggests that a starvation diet will help you live longer. But as one researcher discovered, if starvation helps you live longer, why would you want to live longer? There are any number of jokes along those same lines, like science demonstrates that we can all live longer if we cut out caffeine and sugar and alcohol and tobacco and red meat, and science has also discovered that people who do exactly that have a higher rate of suicide. Well, that's one of the jokes. We Americans have mixed feelings about living forever or even living a very long time. Dr. Emmanuel represents those who are not so sure that long life is a great thing. Our mixed feelings about death is summarized by one comedian who said, "I don't mind dying, I just don't want to be there when it happens." A survey last year showed this: 77% of Americans want to live to be 100 years old, which means not everyone does want to live to be 100. And yet, in that same survey, 1/3 of the people believe they will live past 90. 90 is well past the average age we now can presently anticipate reaching. There have been many books since the 1960s explaining Americans' denial of death. As a society or a culture today, we do not see death very often. When 150 years ago, people usually died in their homes, and the funeral was in your home also. In the last 10 years, there's been a general trend to not even recognize death when it does happen. No funeral, no funeral calling, no service at all. There's a recent book written by a woman whose husband died at the age of 47 in 2015. He died suddenly while they were on vacation. Sheryl Sandberg, CEO of Facebook, a leader among women and young people of her generation, has spoken on grief and loss. She now has a book available entitled Option B: Facing Adversity, Building Resilience, and Finding Joy. I've read her articles and interviews leading up to this book's publication, and I am sure that it will be a helpful book. However, I can't help but think that as a pastor, Sheryl Sandberg would have benefited from a relationship with a church, either in her childhood or as an adult. I remember speaking to my boss when I worked in seminary at a hospital. She was probably about 50 years of age at the time, and she'd been to only one funeral in her life. She obviously did not belong to a church. Church life, if you fully participate in church life, helps you. Church life helps you live with Jesus and live for Jesus. Church life helps you deal with life and death. Church life helps you deal with birth and parenting. Church life helps you deal with the loss of a job, the loss of your health, or the loss of loved ones. It's been clear to me that Sheryl Sandberg and many like her usually feel completely alone when life shows its ugly side. But of course, church people usually know that we are not alone. But having talked about the pain of death, the Bible explains that death can be positive. Here's how the Bible describes death. "He rested with his ancestors and was buried with them." The Bible refers to death as a sleep. resting from one's labors. By the way, the rested with his ancestors and buried with them, that occurs, that's 1 Kings 11:43, and it occurs about 20 times in the book of 1 and 2 Kings. The book of Hebrews speaks of death this way, Hebrews 4:10, "For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his." Death is not just rest. Death is God's rest for those who follow Jesus. Anyone who has witnessed a loved one suffer a long, lingering illness that resulted in death knows that death in those cases often comes to the family not as an enemy, but death comes as a friend. Death can come as a friend to relieve the suffering person from continued pain and suffering. The Bible explains that death has another positive side to it, although it isn't one we often think about. Death has a positive side to it that we are reluctant to acknowledge, even as Christians. If human beings also attained eternal life, there would be no limit to the damage and destruction they could cause through sin. And all of creation would be forever ruined. The Bible suggests that while humans at first lived very long lives, see Genesis chapter 1 through 11, the evil became so great that God did decide that creation had been ruined, and the Lord decided to restart creation. And despite many efforts to make living longer happen for all of us in the near future, most everyone realizes that quality of life is the most important indicator. Why would anyone want to live to be 100 or 105 if they begin suffering from Alzheimer's disease at age 90 or 85? That could be 10, 15, 20 years of suffering from Alzheimer's. The late former President Ronald Reagan died in 2004 at the age of 93 after suffering for 10 years with Alzheimer's disease. No one wants that. I knew a young woman whose mother was facing death, and her mother told her daughter she wanted her daughter to do everything possible to keep her alive. The daughter soon discovered that living in a hospital bed with tubes and machines is not really living. But the daughter was dedicated to her mother's wishes. I imagine that if that woman's mother knew what modern medicine could do to keep you alive, she might never have spoken that wish to her daughter. But back to Ronald Reagan and his wife, Nancy. Through the long years after the diagnosis, Reagan's wife, Nancy Reagan, never wavered. She stood by him, rarely leaving his side for more than an hour or two. The story of her devotion over the last decade was grim and unrelieved, but also tender and loving. The woman who, while First Lady, was the butt of many jokes, showed more true grit than any cowboy Ronald Reagan ever played in film. The former president himself had seen how difficult his descent would be, and as always, his first thoughts had been of Nancy. And so he wrote in his letter to the country, "Unfortunately, as Alzheimer's disease progresses, the family often bears a heavy burden. I only wish there was some way I could spare Nancy from this painful experience. When the time comes, I am confident that with your help, she will face it with faith and courage." So those who want to live forever are not naive about other bad consequences of long life. However, unless they're followers of Jesus, they probably do not consider the problem of sin as one of the disadvantages of long life. I don't know if the man I am about to quote is a follower of Jesus or not, but his 86 years have given him some wisdom. A retired teacher, Arthur Jackson, believes this: "Obviously, the worst possible people are most likely to want to live forever." That brings us to the advantages of life with Jesus, the Messiah, our Savior, the Lord. Living forever with Jesus is great. Living forever with Jesus is great, and living in Jesus in this life is also really, really good. Living in Jesus, whatever sins you participated in before Jesus do not have to be participated in anymore. Many sins can be left behind in the new life that Jesus offers. In addition, the new life offers new ways to live, a new way to be human, ways that lead to better living, a better life, as well as living forever because of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, you begin a new life, a life that shares love, the love of God with yourself and with others. With Jesus in your life, you know that you are forgiven, you are empowered to forgive others as well. Then that same grace in your life works backwards in your life so that you can see God at work in your life in the past, because before Jesus, you probably didn't even notice God at work in your life. You might even make amends to people you hurt in your former life. You might make restitution to those who were harmed by you. You might ask others for forgiveness, recognizing your own faults, fears, bad choices in your earlier life. Then you can live with Jesus guiding you into the good things, the best things for you, the best decisions for you. And your trust in Jesus allows you to do that more easily at every turn. You begin to see Jesus at work in others for you, the church praying for you, sometimes holding your hand, later asking for your guidance. And then when death appears on the horizon of your life, you can have peace knowing that your life has been in and with Jesus. That the Lord is at work in you, has been at work in you, and is at work in others for your life and for Jesus' kingdom. You can come to the end of life knowing that you have fulfilled God's plan for you in this life, so that you will really enjoy the heavenly places of which even the prophet Isaiah spoke of as a time of feasting. The prophets say that God himself will wipe away the tears from our eyes. I've always found that a marvelous, marvelous, powerful image given us. God himself will wipe away the tears from our eyes, and death will be no more, nor grieving. And the beauty of it is that the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, says the very same thing. Friends, none of us knows when we shall die. And despite what science is attempting to advance, that isn't completed yet, we will all die. But living with Jesus is best in this life. And living with Jesus is what we can do when we do die. We say it in one of our affirmations of faith from 1 Peter chapter 1, by his great mercy we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith. You're guarded. You're guarded for this time in the heavenly places by Jesus in this life. I always mention to people, almost always at funerals, use 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, eternal in the heavens, not made with human hands. As long as we are in the body, we are away from the Lord. Have you ever noticed the trade-in there? That while we're on earth, we live in a tent. The body is a tent. But after death, we get a house. And it's better than anything else that's ever been constructed, because the hands that made that house our eternal hands for us to live in for eternity. The apostle also wrote, 1 Thessalonians, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have died, or to grieve like the rest of humanity who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. I could go on. But let me add that if you've already lost a loved one in death, you will regain that person through Jesus Christ. Heaven isn't a place for one person. We will be together with the Lord, says the apostle. Always we. As I just read from 1 Thessalonians, we believe that God will bring with Jesus those bunches of people. We will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We will be brought together. Always we, the apostle is sure to say. Friends, live forever on earth if you want to. But Dr. Emmanuel does not think it is worth it. The Bible doesn't think eternal life on earth is worthwhile. But eternal life in the new heaven and the new earth, that you in Christ can look forward to. Amen.